Amen and amen. Holy Spirit, we just invite you here to rest on us, to stir us up to remember the beautiful testimonies that you have given us, Lord, to share with others, to build up the body of Christ, to bring glory to you, to use as a weapon in our warfare, to encourage us, Lord, to build our faith in seeing that you are very much answering prayers today, as you always have, Lord. And we just thank you for this time to celebrate Sukkot, where we can just share freely the things that you have done, Lord, in the past. And we recognize that you're still at work today. Doesn't matter what the world looks like, Lord, you are still at work today. And we magnify you, we glorify you, we thank you, we honor you, we bring you all of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's get going here. How about Carmina? Would you like to share a testimony with us today?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'll start. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear
Hello.
You.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we were married for some years and I couldn't conceive as my husband had some problems of varicocele veins for which he was operated. And I too was having PCODS. So we were undergoing a treatment with a doctor to get conceived. One day in a prayer meeting, one lady came from behind and she asked me, "Are you Carmina?" I said, "Yes." She told me, "I didn't know your name. God told me your name and told me, give my child a message." And she asked the Lord, "How will I know who she is?" Then Lord told her where I was sitting and what t-shirt I was wearing. And she came straight to me and she said, "The Lord said to tell me that I have blessed you with a child." I was so happy in that moment. And when I heard it, I left all the doctor's treatment. We decided we will not do any more treatments. And we started depending on the Lord. And I thought I will have a child just that month itself. But it didn't happen that month. And the months kept passing by. And I started getting impatient. Then I told my spiritual leader about it. And he said to me, "If he told you it will happen, it will happen. But in his time." Then I was happy. So I waited. Years passed, like, it was almost like 5 years now. And one evening when I was in an intercessory meeting, I heard a voice. This time the voice was different. I could feel it in my heart. At the same time, I could feel every letter, every word being carved in my heart. And he said, just 4 words, "I have blessed you." At that very moment, I knew it was the Lord and that he has blessed me with a child. So as soon as I went home, I checked with a bread-colored kit and it was positive. And yes, he blessed me with a handsome son. So when he says, he does.
Hallelujah, what a beautiful story that is.
Yeah.
And how long did you have to wait for that from when he told you he was going to do it the first time with the lady?
It was like 2 years soon after getting married. And then I got the message from this lady. Mm-hmm. And then another 2-3 years. And then he blessed me with a baby.
Wow.
Boy.
So you still had to be very patient and wait there.
Yes.
That's
yes
amazing,
yes.
though. God is good. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Karen, you want to share one of your testimonies now?
Yes. Maybe I'll share somewhat of a different testimony.
Sure.
So a friend of mine years ago said, well, they're praying prayers and they've got a portal. And I said, "I want a portal. but I didn't know how to do it, and they looked at me as though I was crazy. Anyway, I have my quiet time, my secret place in my bedroom. So I sort of pace there and I pray and I worship because I've got my music also in my bedroom. So then the one day I just, when I went to a certain place in my room, I felt the Holy Spirit so strongly. I felt the electricity, and it was just, I would go in there and I would just be in tears and in the presence, and happened over and over. And I thought, is this it? And I would go back and I would feel it again, and I'd get so excited. So then I thought, okay, let's see what happens if I send people there. So I would just let them come in. I think one of the first one was my eldest son. And I said to him, Jared, just stand there and just tell me what you see. Just magnify Holy Spirit. Just worship him. And I always leave when I tell them to go because I don't want to hear what they speak into the Holy Spirit. My gosh, and the Holy Spirit met him and answered whatever he asked for. And I was so excited. And then I put another friend in there, the ones, because he was talking and he just couldn't move out of where he was. And I think at the time he also wanted to commit suicide. So I said to him, go and stand there, just chat with the Lord, and but magnify him, whatever you do, glorify him. I think he stayed there for a while, but in tears and everything, came downstairs, and then another person, I think three more persons, a friend of mine also, didn't know what to do about her job. And it was just tough to get through to her. So I said to her, Pat, go, just don't judge, but go and stand there and talk to Holy Spirit. She came down, I think, 10 minutes later in tears, and just lovely that she met with the Lord, very excited and happy that he answered. And then another friend. So us we but we talked about it, and then when we talk about it, then I would say, okay, so why don't you? When it was tough for them to meet with Holy Spirit and feel and sense his presence, so that is when I would send them up. But Holy Spirit dealt with them differently. So then he came up the one day, and he's also standing there. So then he came down, he didn't say anything. So I said, did you meet with Holy Spirit? He said, So it was only about 3 weeks or so later that he said to me, since he's been there in my portal, by my Holy Spirit place, my corner, he hasn't had his sciatic problem anymore. So he was healed of that. And then I think two more people went in there and also experienced the Lord. And I just get so excited. I just say, thank you, Holy Spirit. But I suppose I also intercede and pray for them when they come up here. So I thought, let me just share a different testimony.
About your portal. And I'm sure some people right now are going, how did you do that? So I'll let you explain how you created the portal first.
So it was just the place that I lived in before. I also used to do a lot of midnight prayers where I met with the Lord and I just sang and I worshiped. So my portal was purely established through worship first and foremost. And then while I was worshiping, I would experience him. So then I thought, okay, fine. Then one day also you said once you've prayed and you have repented and that, then pray, and it's like an open heaven almost. I didn't quite understand it. And then that one night also, when it first happened in the other place, but I didn't know it was a portal then. So it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I ran to my daughter's room. I said, touch me, can you feel something? She said, but I could feel the electricity. So then I established it here, and I just came from work. So I was just retrenched where I had a 10th floor that I would walk and I would do my worship and my praying on the 10th floor with a beautiful view. And I struggled. I said, Lord, how am I going to get that same beautiful feeling that I had over there? And I don't see anything. I've got a small little place and it's around my bed that I walk. I no longer have meters and hundreds of meters to walk around. And then just the one day while I was worshiping, I just felt it in that specific place and I kept going forward and back. But it was established through worshiping the Lord.
Amen. All right. So to clarify again, folks, if you want to establish a portal in your home, you need to have a spot where you always pray and worship the Lord. Pick a spot. So it could be a favorite chair where you sit all the time, or it's just a place in your house that's where you go. So if that is the place, you repent of your sins every time you go into that place so that you're clearing the atmosphere from anything, right? This is Psalm 66, verse 18 through 20. You want to clear the atmosphere in that area and then you worship in that area. And so if you're always going to the same spot to pray and worship, eventually, whether you realize it or not, your worship is going to create a portal into heaven from that spot. Yes. And then that spot becomes like this very holy and anointed place where that's just where you go every time. And yes, this is true. And even people who don't understand portals or even know what it is, they pick up on it that there's something in that spot. Okay. So, like my daughter, she's always, if she goes into my room, she will not sit anywhere else in the room, just in my spot. And I'm always like, of all the places in this room, why are you always sitting in my spot? And she was like, it just feels better over here. And so she can't really explain why she likes that area, but that's exactly what it is. So now imagine that if I were to move from this place, that portal is still there. So anybody walking around a room, if you're any bit discerning, the minute you walk over into that corner of the room, you're going to feel like, wow, it feels really good in this corner. Now, if you can see in the realm of the spirit, you will see that there is like a cylindrical light that shines out of heaven into that spot. That's what it looks like, right? So anyone can do it, but it takes consistent prayer and worshiping in that spot on a regular basis. So if you have a daily prayer life, instead of walking all around your home, you could still do that. But if you just picked a spot and did it in that spot every day, you would have a portal there. You would have created one through your worship. So that's how you do it. All right, now I'm gonna ask Susan to share.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm walking in this right now, and I love it. It's small, but I love it. It was last year, on one of the school days. I just like bought a nice winter coat for our last born child to go to school with. She loved it. I loved it. But at school, it's like somebody else took it. Rather, it got lost. And it was a really, really cold day. It was like winter, kind of cold in the UK. I got so angry because I was not working. And the school had given a grown-up coat to our daughter, like a 16 by 16, so it was massive, and I was really angry. And we didn't. So in the night, I had prayed.
Speak a little bit more into your phone. You're sounding a little muffled.
Right.
There we go. Better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So on that evening, I got so cross and I was telling the Lord, you know what? I'm not going to ask you for money to go and buy another cord. That's like the third cord for your bike. You don't have to do that. I want the cord back. And I was like, if you are to send them in, please do. We just want that one. Lo and behold, in the morning, cord was on his shoulder in the lounge. First we thought, oh, maybe somebody brought it had a name. So we'll ask maybe the high schoolers if they saw or heard anything in the morning. When we went to school, they had the cord that they had lent to our daughter the previous day. And they were asking me, oh, how did you find the cord? I'm not entirely sure. We found it in the sofa in the lounge. I'm used to ask, you know, the other children if anybody brought it. And the children were like, no, we found it. It's on the sofa. I was so overjoyed. I was like, my goodness. That was just a small thing, almost, well, kind of a small thing, but to me it was a really big miracle. The fact that God answered. And I believe he sent an angel to swap them around back and forth. And I was so grateful for those. Like, I really need to be witnessed in Europe. At that time, I was not because of that thought, but that period. That was, I need to see them. Swift answer. So when that happened, and my husband said, no, anybody. The school was like, there's no register for that because we found it when we came. When we unlocked coming to the classroom, the one who swapped with one of the other child. So it was so beautiful. An angel literally came to our house to bring a cord back. It's so beautiful. So from that, I really take what I asked for very seriously. I have gone to the point of when it's raining senselessly. And I'm supposed to pick up children from school. I would literally tell the rain to stop until between 3 and 4 so that the children go back home. And it happened. And my daughter has copied it. She's really beautiful. I was like, no, what it is. So, yeah, that's what I'm walking into. Like, in miracle. And I'm loving it so much. Just one of the
Amen. I too have my own angelic stories of finding things. Maybe I'll share one of mine now. So what I will find in my house sometimes are the feathers. They'll show up around my bed. Like around my bed, I'll just wake up and there'll be like a feather on the ground or somewhere. And I would show them to my daughter and, you know, she was like, okay. But she still didn't believe that they were actual from angels. So one day now, I guess she figured out, all right, I finally figured out where your feathers are coming from and they're not angels. So she says to me, you do know that two of the cushions on your bed are filled with down feathers. So there's a possibility the feathers came out of your pillows. So I'm like, So I was like, well, let's check to see if there's any of the zippers open or any way where it could get out of the pillow, because it's kind of weird that they just pop out. So we look and we don't see how it could get out. But she was like, but really, Mom, it's possible. Wouldn't you say so? So I was like, I guess it's possible, but I still think they're angel feathers. So she was like, okay, you can believe whatever you want to believe. So we walk into the living room. God is so funny. She walks over to the refrigerator, opens the refrigerator door, and she's standing there staring into the refrigerator, and she's not saying anything. She's just staring. And I'm like, with the door open, I was like, what? She says to me, there's a feather in the refrigerator. So, because she wouldn't believe the feathers around the bed, God put the feather in the refrigerator so that when she opened it after this whole discussion, like it can't be, there is a feather right there in front of her face in the refrigerator. I couldn't stop laughing. And I said to her, now, explain to me how it got out of the pillow and ended up in the refrigerator looking at you. And she was just like, okay. I'm like, yeah. I said, that one's for you. That one is not for me. That one is for you. Because I know how the ones got around my bed. Anyway, I thought that was a funny story, how God will do things like this to show up for kids, especially to make them believe, because then they realize there's no way this could happen. Anyway, another story. I was traveling and I have these earrings. They're diamond earrings. They're very expensive and they have them in a jewelry pouch. And so when I travel, I have them in the pouch. I travel, I wear the earrings, and I came back home from my trip. And when I was packing all my stuff away and I opened the pouch with the earrings, I noticed there was only one earring there. The other one was missing. And I was like, I looked everywhere. I shaked out every bag. I shook out every bag. I was looking through everything. I can't find it. So I have this jewelry case on my dresser. And I took the one earring and I put it on the case. And I'm looking and I'm looking and I look through everything. And now I'm sure I left it back in the hotel. It fell out somewhere in the hotel, or I left it in the hotel, and that was it. So I was just like, okay, I go. I said, all right, Lord, I need you to send an angel back to that hotel room to get me my earring back. I want the earring back. Send an angel to bring me that earring. And I'm going to just trust you, Lord, to do it for me. So I prayed that. The next morning I woke up and I'm walking by my dresser and I look in the tray. And what do you know? Both of the earrings are sitting there. Both of the earrings are sitting in the tray. And I walk back around, I sit on the bed, and I bend my head just to say, I just think it's so important when these things happen in that moment to really just, you know, say, God. And I sat there, I bent my head, and I said, Lord. And I was just saying, thank you so much for doing this for me, because there's no way it could get back in there. And I was just like, I so appreciate it. Thank you so much. And when I finished praying and I raised my head and I look out the window, now I'm on a high floor where I live. There is a feather stuck to the outside of the window. That's like the angel putting his signature. He's like, yep, I brought it back for you here. And he stuck the feather to the outside of the window. As I opened my eyes, I saw it, and it wasn't there. It wasn't there in the morning when I woke up. It wasn't until I went back and said thank you that it stuck on the window. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. If you are ever missing anything, don't freak out. Pray about it. Ask the Lord to tell an angel to go and get it for you, and they will find it. I don't care. This happens if you have things that's broken. Like the other day, my car, I couldn't get the trunk of the car open. It was just sticking. And that made me nervous when I would go to the supermarket, because I didn't want to put meat in the trunk, and then when you're ready to get it from the trunk, when you're coming from the supermarket, you can't open the trunk, and now you have meat in the trunk of your car. So it was stuck for like 2 days, and I finally got it open, and then I tried it again another time, and it was stuck again, and I decided to put the grocery bags on the back seat of the car instead of in the trunk. But I was like, I can't keep doing this. So I said to the Lord, Lord, the trunk is stuck again. I don't want to be scared of putting anything in the trunk of my car. Can you please send an angel to fix what is making it get stuck so that it never gets stuck again, please? And I'm praying this as I'm walking into the supermarket, coming back out of the supermarket, fully convinced that I'm going to put my hand there and the trunk is going to open, because I already asked him to send an angel to fix the lock so that I can open it. Sure enough, I come back out, I walk over, I don't hesitate. I just reach my hand and open it because I know it's going to open because I asked him. So I'm just saying that if something is broken, missing, you ask God to send an angel to fix it. And it will be fixed. Believe that. They will do it for you. Amen. All right. Sylvie, you want to share a testimony with us? Sylvie.
Sorry, I was trying to unmute. Yes, I can. I can share what, two testimonies? Let me start with one. I think about started last year, around the middle of the year, we decided to submit a green card application for my mom because she was a little older, and so we wanted to sort of make sure she had protected healthcare and so forth. So we submitted the application, and they told us it was going to take, I think, about a year or two in order to get it done. So we just submitted it, and then we waited. So as we waited, nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. So we prayed about it, and my brother was the one who was actually following the case, and so literally, every time, and of course, my mom was getting impatient, so she'll be asking all the time, "So, what is it? What is happening? What is this?" and so forth. And so, my brother followed through the process, and we went through everything, went normally, actually. It was a bit delayed at first, but then suddenly things just picked up, and it just went by super fast. Literally, I think we submitted the application in July, and in October, they invited her for an interview. Now, before all this, I had prayed to the Lord, and I had conviction in my heart that the Lord was going to make this happen. But I promise you, for whatever reason it was, the day before the interview, I found myself in this bizarre state of panic. I'm the kind of person who sleeps really well, but that night I could not sleep. I just had these awful scenarios running through my head. Oh, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and so forth. And I was just restless. And this is even though I think maybe about a week or 2 weeks before I had received some other words of confirmation, and the Lord has spoken to me very clearly that this was a good to go, forget about it, let me do my thing. But I was still restless. Of course, as you know, she went to the interview. Literally, there was no interview. She arrived there. They looked at her documents. They said, "Okay, so this is you. We confirm the ad. We confirm your name. We confirm who you're going there with. We confirm X, Y, Z. That's it. Okay, come back and pick up your password." And that was it. And then I ended up, I think that night I slept for about an hour, and then at the time of the meeting, I actually woke up again, and I was praying, and then I called my mom to say, "Well, how did it go? What happened?" And of course, that's when my mom doesn't pick up her phone, and suddenly I start imagining things again. And then when she finally got back home, she called me and she was like, "Oh, well, I don't know. I was waiting for them to do this and nothing. I was done in 5 minutes. It was done." And so I just wanted to praise God because not only she got her green card, she came here And then usually they send you the card by mail afterwards. She received her card by mail also super fast. I think within like 30 days or something like that. She got it super quick and it was just all done and sealed within zero time, basically. And so I just wanted to praise God for that. It just, when His hand is at work, it is at work. And so we can just sit back. We can sit back and just relax. Our fretting mind sometimes don't allow us to, but his hand is just, yeah, that's physical. Yeah, that was my praise report of that. My other praise report is about my house. I purchased a house not too long ago. What am I saying? It's been almost exactly a month now. I moved in a few weeks ago and it was the same thing happened, literally. I found the house, well, a situation came and then we had to move. My friend and I had to move. Well, my friend had to move out of her apartment by the end of August. And we started looking very actively because we had been looking here and there since the beginning of the year. And we were only finding ridiculous things that just, it was just not it. And they were all at super expensive prices. And so, when my friend was notified that her landlord was going to sell the property, I think within 2 weeks of that notification, this house that we purchased came on the market. So we went over, we visited the house, and when we saw it, I think it was probably the best that we had seen so far. It was by far the best that we had seen. It was exactly what we wanted. All of our check boxes were there. And to top it is just that at the beginning of the year, my friend had been praying also, and she had actually drawn a layout of the house that she wanted. I didn't do that. I just said I wanted my house, but she actually drew a layout of what she wanted. And this house that we ended up purchasing is exactly that layout. It's a duplex. So she lives on one side, I live on the other side. And it's the exact layout that we had prayed for. And once we chose the house, we made our offer. We were praying that day because in Canada where I am, oftentimes when you make an offer on a house, there's many other people who make the offer, and then sometimes your offer is rejected for various reasons because someone else paid more, different reasons. But in this case, it turned out we were the only people who made an offer. Even though we visited the house, I think the day before the showings ended. And there were many other people who came by, but we were the only ones who made the offer. And of course, you have the fretting mind starts to wonder, ooh, did we miss something? Did we miss something? But it turns out we didn't miss anything. After they accepted our offer, we came back, we saw the house again, and I promise you, it was even better than what you had seen the first time. Things that were worrying us turned out to be very minor. It was just super. And then we had to wait for the tenants to move out so we could come in. They all moved out on time, absolutely no delays in everything. Everything just happened literally like clock, 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 clock. Just on time, I like. And then, we signed the paperwork and we finally moved in. I mean, I moved in. Was it 2 weeks ago? I don't remember, the weekend of the 20th, I think. And so, so now I'm settled and I'm getting things established. I'm getting things in my place, and I will create my portal. Haha. So, yeah, but I just wanted to praise God for this. It's just, it's above and beyond what I could have dreamed for. And so I just thank God that he doesn't provide according to what we according to our limited imaginations. He goes way above and beyond in his generosity, and I'm just very thankful and just wanted to praise God.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, Glory, you want to share now? Glory?
Yes. So in 2020, I was diagnosed with a rare condition called a glomerulus jugular tumor. The tumor was pressing against the nerve on the left side of my brain, severely affecting my hearing and causing unbearable headaches.
I couldn't work over 3 months. Surgery was deemed too risky. So my oncologist recommended radiotherapy to shrink the tumor. Though the treatment helped to reduce the size, the headaches persisted for years and years. I relied heavily on Tramadol just to get through each day. Then in 2023, everything changed. The Lord Jesus Christ came through for me. I was prayed for, and in the twinkling of an eye, I received my healing. The ear that had been blocked by the tumor began to hear again, and up to now, I'm still hearing. My head no longer felt heavy, and I could stand for long periods without even feeling any dizziness. And up to today, I don't remember that I was a sick person. When I went for my medical review, the ENT specialist was really astonished. He ordered a CT scan to confirm what he was seeing. And indeed, the tumor had shrunk completely, flattened to nothing. I was healed. I give all glory to God. To this day, I hear clear and live freely from headaches. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I was healed in his mighty name. I also had another issue, elevated pressure in my eyes. Like I thought it was triggered by the constant headaches. My eye specialist had prescribed drops to prevent glaucoma as my pressure readings were constantly above 20. But after prayer, I returned for a routine checkup, and wow, the pressure was normal again. All these healings are a result of God's grace upon my life. I give him all glory, and I pray that everyone reading, hearing this testimony will receive the same divine answers to their prayers if they've got any problems when I received mine. So I thank God for that. And maybe I just want to make a small prayer for all those who are sick, who had the same problem or who are having some sickness, which are very rare and they've been sick for a long time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the healing you have given me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I lift every person who's battling sickness, pain, or any affliction, especially those facing conditions like mine. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you did for me, I know you can do it for them as well. I pray that your healing power would touch them right now. Let tumors shrink, pain vanish, and strength return. May they rise up and testify of your goodness, just as I have. Let their healing power complete, undeniable, and bring glory to your name. As your word says in Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord. I stay on this promise and declare healing over every listener in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Glory, glory to Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Okay, Daisy, you want to share one with us? Daisy, can you hear me? Daisy. She messed up.
Yes, I can. Okay. I was trying to unmute. Hello, everyone. When everyone was talking about the angel experience, the angelic experience, I just remembered for the last over a month before now, whenever I'm going to work, I get anxious about the fact that there's no parking space. So the place is always very full and no space. So when I'm leaving for work, I just say, Father, dispatch your angels to create space for me so I'll have where to park. And let it be a secure space. And consistently, I've been getting very good spaces to park for over a month now because I asked. So it's very important that we should ask. He's willing to sort all those things out. And I remember now, in 2020, I fell ill, really ill, to the point that I thought I was going to die. And I remember even while I was on the bed for a very long time, I would still get patients that would call me and I'll be trying to solve their problems. So at that point, I had already told my family, okay, this might just be it. This might be the end. Just in case, I want you to know I love you. I was more or less just like counting down for them. And my mom would say, please, would you keep quiet? Don't say things like that and all that. And I remember on one particular day, there was a patient that was, my number was given to that patient, and the patient was just telling me about certain conditions he had. And very unlike me, the first thing I was thinking of was I was thinking of another doctor to refer the patient to. So I sent a message to the patient and I said, please reach out to this doctor. I didn't want to tell them I was very ill. Then that same patient called me a few days later and he was saying, oh, my wife had a baby and it at a very early term. And in my country, if you have a baby before 25 weeks, the chances of that baby surviving is very little. And as soon as he mentioned it, all I heard in my spirit was, the devil has done this. And I found myself breaking out and speaking in tongues. And I started praying for the man. And I said, because he was already talking about the complications they were seeing. And I found myself praying for the man and praying for the baby and declaring to the man, don't worry, your baby will be discharged and your baby will be fine. When it's time to dedicate that baby, invite me. And as soon as I dropped that call, I realized that there was a strength that came from within. And I started praying in tongues. I found myself getting strengthened. And I turned my face to the wall and I said, Father, just the same way Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, I'm coming to you today, Abba. And I'm saying, who is going to be doing all these things? If you have prepared someone that will be doing all these things, if you've prepared someone to intercede for people and patients, well, then you can take me. But if you have not, Father, take note. I'm bringing before you my strong reasons right now. As long as I remain on the earth, I will continue to stand in the gap on behalf of people. I will continue to stand in the gap within. And I was so pumped, speaking 6 months of treatment. They had been trying to treat me. They thought I, in short, when some of my blood work was sent to the hematologist and one of the other doctors, they thought it was someone that had cancer. But it was just a drug reaction I had that got out of hand. And it took almost 6 months. All my white blood cells had been wiped out. So I was like, I was as good as just being a newborn babe. No immunity whatsoever. And it was at that point that the Lord actually healed me. And since that day, I have kept my promise that I will intercede and stand in the gap for patients. And I give all glory to God because that healing was miraculous. Even the doctors still do not understand how, from an almost zero white blood cell count, it went back to normal. That it could only be God, and I give God glory for that.
Amen, amen, and amen. Ooh, so good. So, so good. Can you imagine calling your doctor and having your doctor start praying in tongues and praying over you? That's so good. Praise the Lord. All right, so I'll share the last testimony. This is from my sister. So she was not saved and just going through a very, very rough time. She had, this was, how long ago? I want to say 5 years ago. Or 5 years ago, maybe? Yeah. She had this car that was giving her a lot of problems. She wanted to get rid of the car, but she couldn't sell the car because the amount of miles that were on the car and what she owed on the car, she would not recover that money if she sold the car. She would have to still come out of pocket to pay off the loan on the car, plus get another car. This is what you call being underwater, they say it, with the car. So this was a problem and causing her a headache. Plus, the car was giving her problems, so she was having to put money into the car if she was going to keep the car. So she was kind of trapped with the car. Then the house where she was living, she needed to move from that house. So this is all happening at the same time. So what happened was she was in the middle of a move. She had I'm going to try to see if I could get the order of events because everything happened so fast. She, because of all these problems, she signed up for the January fast. We were fasting. This was the very first year she had ever come to do the fast with us. And so she signed up to the fast because she didn't like where she was living. Plus the situation with the car. She has a health problem, female problem with fibroids and all kinds of issues for literally 30 years. Picture it as the woman with the issue of blood. And she was in constant pain. She would basically lose 2 weeks out of every month where she was in excruciating pain and would just be crying or had to be on medication to get through 2 weeks of every month. Now imagine having to do that for 30 years of your life. It was like a lifestyle for her to be in pain. It's almost like she couldn't remember not being in pain. So she has the pain, then the car, then the place where she's living. So she, you know, she was like, I'm going to do the fast. I would invite her every year. So she came and she did it. Well, let's see if I get the order right here. So she's on the fast, and while she's on the fast, she's moving. First thing happened was she got saved on the fast. Glory to God. That was the first thing. She got saved. Then she moved into a new place while she's on the fast. So she was happy that she no longer had to have the issues that she was having in the other place. After she moved to the new place, while she's still on the fast, she gets into a car accident and the car gets totaled. It cannot be driven. And so now it's with the insurance company and she's like, you got to help me pray that they give me all the money to cover the loan or I'm going to still have a problem. Anyway, the fast ends. Well, the insurance company comes back and basically tells her the amount they're going to give her. And it's not enough. So I told her, I'm like, we are still going to pray over this. But they're going to come back and say, yes, we're giving it to you. So she gets off of the fast. And 2 days after the fast ends, she says to me, Oh, by the way, I'm going into surgery in 3 days. And I'm like, surgery? It was out of the blue. She went to see a doctor while she's in the doctor's office. Now, understand what I'm telling you here with a timeline. All of this is happening in 1 week of the fast. She gets her car total. She moves into a new place. She gets saved. Now she's going to a doctor and she has surgery in 3 days. And I'm like, what? And so she says to me, I had the doctor's appointment and I went to the doctor's appointment and I was saying to him, I don't know, but I can't take this anymore. And he says, well, I have another doctor who he's working on this new treatment and he's looking for what's the word? Participant to his study. And he specializes in what you're doing, what's happening in your body. And I think you'd be a great candidate. Why don't you give him a call? So she goes and she meets with this other doctor and they accepted her. Now, I want you to imagine what happened here. She wasn't planning on having surgery. She just went to one doctor, and the other doctor forwarded her to this doctor who is coming up with this groundbreaking treatment that doesn't exist. So he's basically pioneering something new. Now, listen to the requirements that she had to meet to get into this study because she wouldn't have been in it any other way. She had to be the right age. It was an age range to get in. She had to be the right race. You had to either be Black or Hispanic in descendant. Okay. That's the second requirement. And then the third requirement is not only Black or Hispanic, but you had to come from the Caribbean. So all of those three things had to, no, four things. There was a timeline on when they were taking in the subjects for this study. And there was only 2 more weeks before it would be over. 2 weeks. So she basically got in. She just got saved. Basically got in to meet all of those requirements. And she's with this doctor now who she never would have been able to see a doctor like that of that caliber because he doesn't take her insurance. But because she was referred and signed up for the study, he took her in. She did not have to pay for anything because basically he needs her to be a part of his study. So he did all the work for free. I'm talking probably $100,000 worth of procedures. And what it was is that it's a new way of detecting cervical cancers. What he's saying is he has discovered a way where he can detect ahead of time the cells that are going to become cancerous and the treatments that needed to be done so that it doesn't become cancer in the end. And so she went in to have the fibroids removed. He did the surgery on her for free. And then while he was in there, the other things that they suspected would have possibly turned cancerous, he removed all of that. He ended up doing like two other things in addition to the one thing that she went for while he was in there so that she didn't have to come back. And he told her, he goes, I know you were going to have a problem with this later on. And so, as to save you the time and the money of finding another doctor to do it, I'm just going to go ahead and do it for you. He does all of this. And generally, she called me because we have this thing with our family is that nobody goes to the hospital unless there's a whole bunch of us there 24 hours a day. We take shifts to basically, be the advocate for the person who's going through surgery. We have to make sure nothing is going to go wrong. We check everything. We look up everything. We look at all the medications. I mean, we are like helicopter. checking to make sure that the doctors aren't making a mistake. And I can tell you, this is the very first time I had ever been in a hospital environment where I didn't have to watch them, because her success was tied to his success. In order for him to get this thing approved, this needs to be pristine. So they were taking such good care of her. I mean, you would think it was a private hospital. His entire medical team, I knew that she was in good hands when I was talking to all the nurses that he had working with him. And it was, everyone I spoke to, it was, oh, he did my surgery too. Oh, he did my mom's surgery. Oh, he did my sister's surgery. Oh, I sent my best friend to him. You know, when you have a good doctor, when all the nurses go to that doctor if they want something done. And they told me, they're like, he is the best doctor. She could not have asked for a better doctor. And he's so meticulous and such a perfectionist that he doesn't allow every and any nurse to work with him. You have to be on it with everything. He gets very annoyed if any mistakes are made. So they were like, she's in the best hands. And I could feel it, that there was nothing to worry about, right? Now imagine this. In addition to her having this surgery that would completely take away this issue and all of the pain that she had felt for 30 years would be gone, wiped out, completely gone. She had the surgery, and the first day after the surgery was her actual birthday. So it was like a birthday present. So here's what happened. Then we prayed, and the insurance company came back and decided to pay off for the entire car so that she didn't owe anything. So her life was like this. 30 years of suffering that got wiped out in 3 weeks. She got a new car, got rid of the old car problem and didn't have to pay for it. She moved into a new place that she liked. She had a surgery she wasn't expecting to have, and all the pain and all the problems went away, and she didn't even pay for it. And then it was her birthday on top of it. All of that happened in 3 weeks. Praise the Lord. And you know what it is that sometimes you can suffer for a long time, but my goodness, you see, when God starts to work on your behalf, she got saved. And that whole time, it was just like everything started to just fall into place in her whole life. So when she came out of the surgery, it was like, that was done. It's over. I have a new place. And now I'm going to go pick out a new car. And it was just like her life completely changed in 3 weeks, less than 2.5 weeks. God is awesome. And Lord, we are thanking you today for that. I've seen you do it several times, Lord, when we hit that acceleration of answered prayers where they come in multiples, they come in multiples. And I just pray for that multiple anointing for everybody that's listening here right now, that when he starts to answer your prayers, they will fall like dominoes and everything falls into place so beautifully, one after the other, after the other, after the other. And he just makes it all right. It feels like overnight. It wasn't overnight because, you know, you prayed long and hard. But when it does happen, it's going to feel that way because it just happened suddenly and you didn't even know it was going to happen. Think that 2.5 weeks prior, her life was a mess. 2.5 weeks later, everything was fixed. As your God, as you are God. And that's why we praise you. That's why you deserve all the glory. And we can't take credit for any of it. So, Lord, receive these praises. Receive the honor. We magnify you. We glorify you. And that's why we enjoy doing this, Lord, telling the stories of your goodness. Thank you for encouraging us with these testimonies and for being so faithful and true to your word. You just do it every time, every time. I thank you, Lord, for this day and for this time that we've spent together in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So anyone else listening, if you have a testimony you want to share, send me an email and let's get you on the schedule to share it. Okay. All right. And I will see you all tomorrow, same time. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Good night.